Pasuk Zayin Perik Perik Aleph Pasuk Zayin page 544. Tav Hashem Limoiz Biyom Tzar. Hashem is good to those who seek in Hashem to be their strength. Those people that seek out Hashem should be their strength. Hashem is good to them. Biyom Tzar. And the person Achman Lestam is in the time of Tzara, and he looks for strength. He can look for strength in many different ways. He can go and he can go hide in a bunker. He can go and have faith in his money, to use his money to save him. He have strength in his physical power. But those people that select that their source of strength in times of difficulty will be their faith in Hashem, to those people Hashem indeed is good. The idea Hashem knows those people. Hashem is he makes himself known. Those people that seek refuge in Hashem. We'll see much more in a few moments. Pasuk Ches, uveshetef oiver, and when the storm, when the anger, shetef literally means to pour out. Here it's referring to the pouring out of anger. When the anger finishes being poured out, kolo yase mikoima, there's nothing left. Its place is completely destroyed. The oivav yardef choshech, this is a very interesting expression. The enemies yardef, they're going to pursue darkness. Now, okay, we'll see in a few moments what that means. Let's read a few something together. Matachshavun el Hashem. What are you thinking concerning Hashem? Kolahu oiseh loisakum pamayim tzara. And then it goes on to say, this is a very popular expression. This expression is used, you see this in different sources. It's very good learning it inside, that a tzara does not arise to come back a second time. That's a very deep pasuk. What that means is a big mystery. And we're going to have to see this very slowly and very carefully. Let's start pasuk examining the Mitzudos David. We'll start off very simple. Pasuk test. Pasuk Zayin, page 545. Toiv Hashem l'mo'oiz. Return to Lomark, af b'yom tzara kishuhu oisek b'havos ha-mishpat on a day of tzara. When Hashem is busy bringing mishpat, im kol zehu toiv oz l'hiyoiz l'mo'oiz u'l'choizek. Even though these last number of psukim that we've read, the last few days, are describing Hashem coming to this world and bringing destruction, korban, to Hashem's enemies, to Ashur, even in the middle of destruction of korban, there's always going to be an element. There's going to be a place of escape, of refuge. Ab yom tzar kishu oisik b'havos ha-mishpat im kol zehu toif hash'oz liyos l'ma'oz. Hashem still in that matzav is a source of strength. Ulechayzek. What does this mean? V'noisein leiv l'das es ha-choytsim bo. Hashem pays attention. Leiv Lodas. It's a very beautiful expression. Hashem combining two different words which really mean completely different things. Leiv is emotion. Das is intellect. We normally like to have an iron curtain between the emotion and the intellect. It's very hard when the two of them should be in sync. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're together. Leiv Lodas. Apply yourself. We use that expression by people. Lave, take your das, your mind, your intellect, lave, and convert it or connect it to your heart. And together, it's a winning team. Person puts passion, emotion, into his intellect, his desire to know and understand. Then you can't go wrong. Here as well. Hashem is noisin leiv lodas. Hashem pays close attention with passion to the people es hachoisim boy who seek refuge in Hashem. Lahazmin lohem hatzalah, to save them. The ezer, to be to their assistance. Loi kemelech bas of adam she'ein mi yamor lefana be'ezama. Not like a melech bas of adam where there are no survivors. V'lo yitin oz leiv l'heitiv imi, and the melech bas of adam does not have the ability, nor does he have the desire to be good to anyone at a time of war. When a melech basar v'dam goes into battle, there is always b'li yoytzei min haklal, collateral damage. That is one of the evils of this world. No matter how much we think today we have guided, super laser-guided missiles, and the goal of an army, a modern army today, is just to attack the criminal and not to bring about any harm, it's impossible, because what about their family? You have a criminal, a hardened criminal, and he's a Russia, but who says that his wife is evil? Who says his children are evil? And now when they don't have, and many times you see that these wicked people, they're very good to their own family. They're very kind to their children, to their wife, to their family, or to their friends. They're rotten apples to the world, but to their family they're good. And the family are good people. No one, they never hurt a fly. And now when you take away from them a father, a husband, or a person that supports them, that is collateral damage to the family. So even if you will have the ultimate laser-guided missile and take out just the perpetrator, not just do a carpet bombing of an entire city, and not going to go destroy women and children, but what about the collateral damage? Mm-hmm. It's impossible. That's one of the evils of this world. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to protect. Everything is extremely calculated. And that's pretty much what he writes over here. This is a very beautiful pasuk. This pasuk reads inside again, even at the greatest times of tzara, as we've learned in these last number of psukim, Hashem is unique in that in the tzara, toiv Hashem. Hashem is good. Lima'oz b'yom tzara. You have to read it backwards. In the time of a yom tzara, to those people who seek out Hashem as their source of strength, Gesundheit, Toiv Hashem. Hashem is good to them. Hashem takes care of them. And who are these people? Pasuk concludes, these are the people who are Yodeya. The Vav really just an explanation. Choseivo, it's Hashem, Yodeya, Hashem makes, it's going on Hashem. The subject of the word Yodeya is Hashem. Hashem makes himself known to Choseivoi, to those people who seek refuge vo in Hashem. Okay, next pasuk in the Mitzvah of David. Biyom Tzarah. Same idea. Correct. Same idea. Very similar. Correct. Pasuk Ches uveshetef oiver hine. The shetef is usually means a flood, and it's usually associated with a flood of water. Hine, b'shetef mayim rabim, when there is a flood of abundant water, ya'aseh kolo, es Hashem brings destruction. Now, right away, he ties this into Nineveh. This mm-hmm. we're forgetting what we're talking about, because we got so, we go into the details too much, we forget sometimes the big picture. The big picture here is that Nahum is coming to give over a prophecy regarding the Chorban, the upcoming Chorban of the city of Nineveh, which is the capital of Ashur. Nineveh. Shezach HaBetchilas HaNevuah, that we mentioned in the beginning of the Nevuah, it's an Elohimah HaOyev HaBavuhu Nebuchadnezzar, who Yichale HaKoel. Who here is going to be the Shetef, the flood? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the one that will destroy the kingdom of Ashur, become the new boss, the new world power, become the new, and he will then go on later to bring Churban to Klal Yisrael. Ho'oiv ha'bovuhu Nebuchadnezzar, who yichaleh hakol kmo shetef mayim ho'oiver, like a flood of mayim ho'oiver, ha'shoitev hakol mibli yisho'er mo, there'll be nothing left over from this nation. Next words, v'oivav, ha'choshech yardef es oivav heim anshe Ashur. Now, he over here is translating the pasuk not the way I translated. He's adding in letters, and he's saying here that yardef, the word yardef, what is the subject of yardef? Of yardef, choshech. The darkness will pursue the enemy. When I translated the pasuk, I translated it differently, which is not necessarily wrong, because you have the same mafarshim, how they can explain it. There is over here a makof that connects the word yardef. If you look in our print, yardef choshech, which means they're read together. There is no ta'amei hamikra on the word Yardef. The Tame HaMikra is only on the word Choshech. The two words go together. And the way the Mitzudos explains this phrase, that the darkness will chase after Hashem's enemies. Now, when I started, I translated the other way around. I said that the enemies, they will chase after darkness. Okay, we'll see that a little later on. There's a very big difference. And it's interesting. Today, you know, we live in a world today, you know, Michal's not here. If he were here, he would give us some illustrations of when people are crazy, they pursue craziness. Okay, they look to be crazy. A person gets into a frame of mind of being a meshugana, you look and you plan to pursue craziness. Like I saw online yesterday, Pelosi. I couldn't believe what I saw. They showed when she ripped up the speech at the State of the Union. She didn't just rip it up on the spur of the moment. She planned to do this all along. Not only that, she already, they show, it's unbelievable, they had this smoking gun. They show from behind, the picture behind, under the table, she already prepared the marks. She started to tear it in advance. So when he would finish his speech, it would for sure work. She shouldn't be embarrassed that it should not. So it was premeditated. Premeditated. Not sometimes a person acts foolishly. Most of the time, when a person acts foolishly, it's on the spur of the moment. It's not premeditated to make a fool out of yourself. A person just loses control. He gets angry, gets upset. He loses control. So that moment, if he would think about it, he wouldn't do something like this. But when a person is so crazy, they pursue darkness. They chase after, they're looking to do things that are totally outrageous, that are considered dark in the eyes of the world. That's how I originally thought the word Yardef Choshech. We have to see the Mefarshim, not yet finished yet. That Oivav? What? Yiradef. So Yiradef, the grammar, grammar is not always an impediment when it comes to Nach. We have to see what it means exactly in Echanami, but right now at this moment we have full confidence in our teacher, the Mitzudos, who translates the word Yiradef Choshech to mean the Choshech is coming alive, it's taking on a human characteristics, and it is chasing after our enemies to put them in a state of darkness. Yiradef Choshech, what? V'oivav, Hashem's enemies. That is his interpretation. Look at the last line. V'oivav, ha-choshech, regarding or concerning the enemies of Hashem, ha-choshech, yiradef es oivav. Darkness will chase after Hashem's enemies. Who are his enemies? Haim anshei Ashur. The people of the nation of Ashur who exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. Next pasuk test in the Mitzudos, Ma Tachshevun Ritzoyno Loimar Atem Anshe Ninve Ma Tachshevun El Hashem. What are you thinking? What is going on in your mind? Hagoyzer Aleichem Ezois Haim Tachshevu Lihinotzel Miyodoy. Do you really think you're going to survive? Du'u, you should know. Ki Kolohu Oisel Lochem. Okay, know this. You know, you don't have such a word. This word is a very powerful word. I always take note of this word. The Mishnah Berura, he loves this word. Not in this form, he always, da. When he wants to make a statement, he says, da. Know this. Make sure you pay attention and know this fact. It's not new. This is something which you don't have in English. You don't really see this in when you read an article and the author wants to make a point, he has to write a whole sentence in order to get you into the frame of mind of this one word. When the Mishnah Berura writes, da, he does it very often, da. I'm telling you something now. Don't forget this, da. Two letters in English, I don't know, maybe, I'm ignorant, but in English it seems that when an author tries to put you in that frame of mind of da, it's not enough just to say no. It doesn't work in English. He has to build it up. He has to make a point and say, I'm going to tell you something now, and don't ever forget this. It takes a whole sentence to replicate two letters. Da. Du, no. Ki kala hu oisei lochem. You should know that you're not going to escape. Ma tachshavu ne'el Hashem. What do you think? You think that Hashem's going to have rachmanis on you? It's an olam shel hefker. You do whatever you want and there's no accountability. You should know kala hu oisei. Ki kala hu oisei lochem v'loisei akum ha'tzarap ha'mayim. Now this is a very powerful expression we said before. Ki ba'pam achas yichale eschem. Now this means al derech pshat. There's a lot of drush on this. On the word kilo, it's not going to happen twice. But the pshat here is that Hashem will wipe you out in one shot. It's not going to be necessary to, when Hashem does a job, when the plumber comes to install your boiler, he usually has to come back a few times, right? He has to first come to see what's going on. He has to come and then deliver the goods. He has to then come and start, take away the old, put in the new, and come back many times, and this doesn't work, that doesn't work. A human being, whenever he does a job, there are multiple steps. You never, ever finished. Anytime you get involved with something, we all know that in life, whenever you get involved in something, there's always going to be a follow-up, another follow-up, maybe not today, maybe in a week, 2 weeks, a year, 10 years. That's how it is. You get involved in something, it's all in anything. Even the simplest thing. You go to your next door neighbor, you knock on his door, you want to borrow an egg for your cake. You know, you get involved, there's no end to it. That's the way life is. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he wants to do something, he gets it done in one shot. In one shot. Hashem wants to destroy Ashur, he'll get the job done in one shot, in one visit. It's all over. That's the very powerful, all these three psukim. What? Right, in one shot. Esekala, same thing. I will do called destruction.
And it,
one shot, obliterated.
Even till this day, right? Even till this day.
There's no Sodom Amora. It's obliterated. Leisokum pa'amayim tzara. The pshat. Okay, the pshat, we're discussing the nation of Ashur. Hashem decided they will be destroyed. Because of their sins. What are their sins? Primarily, they've exiled the Aseres HaShvatim with brutality. And when Hashem now, their reckoning has arrived, and Hashem will obliterate them, Hashem will get the job done in one shot. He will not need to rise up against them twice. Hashem is not limited. Unlimited, the tzara here means the tzara that will come upon our enemies. It's not necessary. That's the key word. It's not necessary for Hashem to rise up and get rid of them a second time. It will all be done in one shot. Okay, so we learn over here pretty much pshat. Three psukim, very powerful. Psukim describing that a beautiful yesod. Now, by the way, pasuk, according to what we have learned in pasuk test, it appears to be a contradiction, a head-on contradiction to makas b'chayres. Because by Makas Bukharis it says that V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'alayla hazeh V'avarti, I will pass over. Ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy satan v'loy mashchis, the whole Haggadah, all the things that we say there. Why was that necessary? Because Kevan shnitan rishus l'hashchis, when HaKadosh Baruch gives permission to the angel of destruction to destroy, it is not mavchin ben tzadik L'Rosha. And even the good people have to suffer. Oy L'Rosha, Oy L'Shcheinai. Woe to the evil man and woe to his neighbor. So here the pasuk says it's not true. That even during a time of tzara, the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking out to save and spare good people. So we have what appears to be at face value a contradiction. Generally, Hashem is not mavdil. That's basic yisoid. We find that tzaddikim, they suffer. He's not mavchin. Bein tzaddik l'rasha. When there's permission given to destroy. Here we're describing the ultimate destruction of a nation, the nation of Ashur. They're being obliterated off the face of the earth. The end of the sequence makes that very clear. Lo'sakum tzara pamayim. It's not going to be necessary for Hashem to come back for a cleanup. It's going to be done in one shot. So this is the ultimate of Hashem is not mavchin bein tzadik l'rasha. And here the pasuk begins by telling us, no, toiv Hashem l'ma'oz biyom tzara v'yodea choy sevoy. Stira. So I do not have a good answer. The only thing that I can think of is that the word lima'oz is and chosevo are very powerful words. It means, what I'm trying to suggest that it means is that Hashem is not mavchin bein tzadik l'rasha. Unless the tzadik goes into active mode. In other words, the person is sitting at the table and you want to analyze him, right? So someone is looking into him. Someone is making an investigation. You hire a private detective, and they want to go, this guy, they watch him, they observe him. He goes to work, he wakes up in the morning, he goes home. Private investigators look at a person, what he's doing. He's a good guy. He doesn't harm a fly. He's a good person. And then, for whatever reason, Hashem sends forth Chorban. He can't help you. But if a person knows what is coming and he steps up to the plate and he is active in seeking salvation, he is active in seeking his defense, then yes, then Hashem will be mavchin ben tzadik l'rasha. I'm suggesting is that this principle that we are so familiar with, especially from the Haggadah and from Makkos Bechorah, and from the whole story of the Haggadah, that Hashem is not mafkin bein tzadik l'rasha, it's only when the person is passive. Or maybe even the person is slightly active. But this person is teaching us that if a person is very active, he works, he hustles to be saved, Hashem is not going to abandon him. Even at a time of where Hashem is gives permission to the mashris, to destroy both good and bad, if you are in a situation, in a category where you can say about yourself that you are lima'oz, you are seeking out Hashem to be your stronghold. If you are in a category where you're seeking out Hashem to be choisei voy, then that's different. Okay, it's a pasuk. You can't deny the fact.
So you say, right.
But it seems there was an exception, because there it says v'yavarti, because there was a very big exception. Just putting the dam, would that be already in the category of lima'oz? Maybe, yeah. But it seems it was unique. Okay, that was a very unique situation. Here he's giving us a new category. Okay, something along those lines. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi, pasuk zayin. The time Hashem lois ap v'shashu nifra lemi'ayvav v'chamasai. Even at a time when Hashem, he punishes his enemies in his anger, loizazu rachamav milheitiv li re'av. Hashem does not deviate. Does not deny his compassion from being good to those that fear him. V'loi kemidas basar v'dam kishahu asuk bozo einoi panu l'zoi kinyin shenemar Hashem ish. Look at that, this week's parasha. Hashem ish milchama Hashem shemoi. K'moi shahu b'michiltin. Hashem is a man of war. In war, there are no survivors. But yet, even in war, yudke vavke, Hashem shemoi. Hashem maintains his name. What's the name of Yudkei Vavkei Shemoi? Midas Harachamim. Even though Hashem is an Ish Muhammad, Hashem behaves like a man, a human being. A human being, when he goes out to war, he presses the buttons. When you nuke someone, that's it. It's all over. The radiation is going to destroy the good and the bad. No, not by Hashem. Hashem Shemoi. What's the name of Hashem? Shemo. The name is Hashem. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the midah of Rachamim. Within the Milchama, within Hashem behaving, taking on the characteristics of a human being and bringing utter destruction to the entire in the battlefield to the enemy, Hashem still has the unique ability to exercise rachmanis to those upon whom He wants to show compassion. Next words, V'yodea kol es sarchei chaytzi, Hashem knows the needs. Rashi adds in here a very powerful word. Doesn't say this in the pasuk. And what Rashi is doing over here is something which is very interesting. It must come from somewhere. Hashem knows what? Hashem v'yodea. Hashem, He knows. Now, when I translated this pasuk, I on my own just said Hashem makes Himself known. That's how I loosely translated the Mitzudos David. When he translated the word v'yodea, okay, Hashem v'noisein leiv lodas, because I basically translated it from the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David and Rashi, it's a very small nuance, but it's a world of a difference. A world of a difference to pay attention to this. The Mitzudos David, he says, v'noisein leiv lodas es hachoy simbo. Hashem pays attention. I told you the two words together, leiv lodas. Where did the Mitzudos David get the word leiv lodas? V'yodea. Hashem, chosevo, those that seek refuge in Him. And Hashem now is having rachmanis upon them. So the Mitzudos David said the word yodea, which the root is, means da, means to know, knowledge, means Hashem here is paying attention to the people that seek refuge in Him. And what is He doing by paying attention? So the Mitzudos goes on to save them. When the missile lands, it's not going to land on their house. Hashem will work it out, but Hashkacha Pratis will land somewhere else. Or Hashem will work it out, they're not going to be there. It's just going to be, they're not going to be in that location. And Mary gave me this book. He gave me this book from Rabbi Wallace called Incredible. The book is Shmoy Kahu. Every chapter is one unbelievable story more than the next. And he writes to me about, you know, he had a very rich life, very fascinating life. And then you know, he was in Rabbi Wallace, the one who was the, called the CEO of Arachim, a very popular Kiva organization. You would think that at a certain point in his life already, you know, all the miracles already happened to him already. But then he was a citizen of Eretz, and he went every year on Miluim. He was called up for, you know, reserve duty, and there was a war going on in Lebanon, and he was not he's not a 20-year-old boy who was able to go into a tank and fight, but you know, you got to do your service for the country, and he was called up to be a liaison, to go and basically be a translator between the media and the army, the Israelis, you know, the soldiers, and I guess the army, the IDF, and the secular media who wants to have, you know, a liaison to translate basically. And he was called to come to his to come, and he comes, and he sits around there and they sign up, and they have a bus to take them up north to Lebanon. It's a terrible story. It's a gefährlich story, and they take a roll call. All the people that were called up, and there are 55 people who are there. And then the officer says, "We didn't expect everyone to come. We know there are a lot of what are called AWOLs. What's it called?
Away without leave.
People just disappear. Everyone showed up. We only expected 50 people, not more than 50 people." But wow, you're all good people. Everyone showed up. We don't need everyone. We don't even have enough seats on the bus for everyone. So 5 people can go home. Who are the 5 people? We don't know. If anyone here has a good reason to go home, please come forward. Maybe we can, we'll see, we'll decide. So everyone ran to the officer with every excuse in the world why they do not want to have to serve. There are 5 slots to leave. This guy's wife is pregnant. This one has a job. This one has this excuse. But Wallace, he knows the systems, waste of time to fight with them. He sat down in the back and he took out a safer. And even though he probably had more reason to than anyone else, he was probably older than everyone else, he sat down in the back He sat down in the back and he just started to learn. He figured, listen, what's the big deal? If I'm going to leave, they'll just call me up in the month from now anyway. I might as well get over with already. Do my service. He sat down and everyone's fighting. All of a sudden, someone comes over to him and says, "Sir, what's your name? You don't have to be here. You can go. Tell the officer that you're dismissed. You'll be one of the five." He never saw this person his whole life. He knew the army. He was in the army for a number. He was in the Air Force for a number of years. He never saw that. Doesn't know this person. And he just says, "You're dismissed." He knows this person from Adam, and he goes over to the guy. And the guy, "Who says you're dismissed?" And the guy, that he waves him on. He's dismissed. He goes. What does he do with his free time? His wife didn't tell his wife. What does he do? He goes to Kollel Chazonish, literally. I always make that joke. Kollel Chazonish. That's exactly where he went. He went to Bnei Barak. For the rest of the day, and he sat and learned. He comes home at night. His wife thinks it was a ghost. "What are you doing home? I thought you went for Miluim." No, he was dismissed. Next morning, he turns on the radio. You know what happened? It's unbelievable that his unit, all those people that went, were all killed. There was a bombing, ramming. Someone drove a vehicle into the base where they slept that night, and there were no survivors. It's just a horror is not to be believed. And he should have been there. He was called up. He should have been there. When they had five exemptions, he didn't even bother. It's not real, the story. And for the rest of his life, he says he kept on trying to find out who that person was who dismissed him, and he was never successful in identifying the person who dismissed him. So look at that. No one knows how these things work, but Hashem did not want him to be there. Hashem was nice in Leiv Lodas, that in this Gefer L'chutzara, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, so many people died, so many Yisaimim, Almanos, such incredible tzara. No one knows why, where, how these things work. Hashem did not want him to be there. Hashem's viyodeya, noisein leiv lodas, that in the tzara, I'm going to provide for whatever my reasons are, hatzala. That's what it says here. Leiv lodas, Hashem pays attention. Es hachoisim boy. Lahazmin lohem hatsala ve'ezer. Like a melech boss of a dam, she ain't me amod lufan be'ezam. Not like a human being that can never work it out. That is the translation of the idea lefi the parish of the Mitzudos David. Rashi says something very different. Rashi adds a word here that is very surprising. The idea es tzorche, the needs. He doesn't say. Not talking about saving you. It's a different concept. That a person, every person has needs. The tzari here does not necessarily mean the person's going to die. Maybe no one's going to die in this situation. But everyone over here is in an eighth tzara. They're in poverty. There's famine. There are tzaras. But in this matzav, a person has needs. Has unique tzorochim. Everyone in this room has unique needs that their chaver does not have. And Hashem is nice and leiv lodas to know the tzorche. What does this person need? This person needs money. This person needs a refuah. This person needs a shidduch for his grandson, granddaughter, whatever. Everyone has a certain need. Hashem is aware of the needs of the chosebo. It's a very different translation of the word viyodeya. Rashi, for whatever reason, it's a powerful word, and I think Rashi is more detailed in this context than the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David is a one-shot deal. Hashem saves you. Get out of the way. I don't want you to be in this location because you're in danger. So Hashem pushes you out. Rashi, no, it's much more than that. I know what you need. You need food, you need clothing, you need medicine. To get a person what he needs is a very complicated process. And Hashem has to put all of the players, all of the pieces together to choreograph everything so that you should get what you need. It's a very different taich in the word viyodea. Pasachas. Uveshetef oiver. What does it mean, uveshetef oiver? Uvechema shaitefes. Shetef is usually used, as we said, in association with water, a flood, a tsunami. And here, it's being used in reference to chema. Chema is called also shaitefet, floods. When the shetef oiver, when the anger floods, kol yasa mikoyma. There's nothing left. It's squeaky clean. Shel eretz musav ze'al vatis eretz mipanav. This goes back on the previous pasuk. Kamo shomar lamala Hashem. Rashi learned there means fire. Rashi before said vatis eretz mipanav means the earth is burnt. There's a fire. There is an intense fire which completely destroys everything that's there. Kolahu oisel leninve umalche ashur lo yishne lochem oy pam acheres. It says that it's not going to happen twice. It's not going to be necessary. It's not going to be repeated. The destruction will be complete. There will be no rebuilding. It will not be necessary to come back and do the job again. No, Mitzrayim lived to die another day. Okay? Mitzrayim was by this week's parasha, right? This week's parasha, Parash B'Shalach. It wasn't over for Egypt. They were destroyed. After 10 Makos, they were decimated. But they lived to fight another day. You ever watch the Ten Commandments? Ever see that? He showed you at the end. Paro there is sitting on his throne with his queen. It's a great scene. It's a really great, it's the best part of the whole. I haven't seen this movie probably in 100 years before you were born. But I remember that scene at the very end of the Ten Commandments after they left Egypt. And Egypt was destroyed, but Paro was still alive. And it's not Chazal say, that's true. Chazal say he was the only survivor. And they show him sitting there on his throne. On his throne, and all dressed up and, you know, in his costume with his queen, like with the look on his face, like, and now what? There's no nation anymore. They totally destroyed, whole Egypt was destroyed, but he's still sitting there on his throne with his queen by his side, depressed. He lived to die another day. And indeed, look at Tanakh. Go look at Tanakh. Paro Necho, and this Paro and that Paro. Egypt survived. They went on to rise up once again, make more trouble. Paro, who did Shlomo HaMelech marry? All of our problems come from their survival. Had they been obliterated, then Shlomo would not have married the daughter of Paro, the Bas Paro. And then the Churban would not, whatever all that means. One of Shlomo HaMelech's big mistakes was he married the daughter of Paro, of Egypt, to form a political alliance, and she introduced into Jewish society Avodah Zarah, which paved the way for the Churban, ultimately. So how did Egypt even exist after the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Makas Bukharos? The answer is Hashem allowed them to survive. That's not the case with Ashur. You never heard of Ashur anymore. Ashur ceases to exist. That's why only by Ashur does it say this expression. Loisakum pa'amayim tzara. It's not going to be necessary for a second round. They're gone. Squeaky clean. There is no such thing today as the Malchus of Ashur. It doesn't exist. It's amazing. The one, Ashur is the one, look at the irony. The Gemara has a discussion. It was in the Daf Yomi not all that long ago. A discussion when it says in the Torah, does that apply today? Person comes, I don't know, from the territory of Amon or Moab, or person comes from Mitzri. Do we apply the biblical laws that, I'm sorry, we do not accept converts from these nations? And the Mitzri, 3 generations. You have to wait 3 generations. Do we apply those rules today? So one opinion, well, yeah, of course. It's pasuk in the Torah. What do you want? It's pasuk in the Torah, of course. Other man says, no more. Because Sancheiriv came, he conquered the world, and part of conquering the world in ancient times was you relocate populations. You don't want trouble. And the way you go and you prevent people from rebelling against you is you tell them, pick yourselves up, and you play musical chairs with nations. Everyone who lives in Ashur, everyone who lives in this country, you go here, you go here, you go there. And the people are so busy settling and getting used to the new surroundings, the new territory, and fighting among themselves over property and getting used to life, they have no time to fight with you. That's what they teach in West Point. Anyone here graduate of West Point? What you do to your enemy is you keep them busy. If you keep your enemy busy, they have no time to make trouble for you. They teach us in rabbi school also. Balabatim that have nothing to do with themselves. You know what they do? They all get together and they campaign to get rid of the rabbi. When the Balabatim are busy with their own problems, they have no time to throw you out. It's a fact. When Balabatim are busy in their businesses and they're busy with their own family, they just don't have time. We have to make the shul better. And the only way to make the shul better is a new rabbi. A new rabbi. So how come Balabatim have this machshava? They have nothing to do. If they were busy, they're all retired. If they're busy making parnasa and they're busy with their children, they don't even have time to think about how to make the shul better by getting a new rabbi. This is life. So here as well, Sancheirev was wise. In order he conquered the world, he was paranoid that people would rise up and get rid of him. So how did he prevent them from getting rid of him? He kept them busy. How do you keep them busy? Keep them on the move. Relocate. When you relocate, you're not used to your environment. Yeah, it takes you decades to settle in. You'll be so busy with yourself, you're not going to have time to make trouble for me. In the process of doing so, he completely destroyed the concept of nations among the world. There's no such thing anymore as Ammon and Moav. Everyone in this world has become assimilated. Look at that. So the man who was responsible for the ultimate assimilation of the entire world, he himself ceases to exist. Mida keneged mida. Mida keneged mida. The same way he went and destroyed the unique culture of every single nation, it used to be before Sancheirev, there was a culture of Ammon, a culture of Moab, a culture of Egypt, a culture of Aram. Every nation had a unique culture. Now it's melting pot, the global village. Everyone is diluted, watered down.
Maybe that's good.
It sure is good. Probably for us it's good. For us, but for the world it's not good. If you go to a Chinese restaurant and they're serving you chicken soup, something is wrong. Chicken soup is not Chinese food. This is Jewish. Knedloch, chicken soup, this is Jewish cuisine. This is not Chinese. Okay, every restaurant, you go to a Chinese restaurant, the cuisine is supposed to be Chinese. You go to Italian restaurant, when they start serving dishes from other nationalities, there's something wrong. You're in a violation of the rules of food, whatever you want to call this. Who is the one that destroyed the pure culture of the world? Yosef, only in Egypt. Also, but the one Chazal say is Sancheirev. What was the Mida Keneged Mida? When his end came, he was obliterated off the face of the earth. And there's no such thing as Ashur ever again, more so than any other nation. Because the Pasuk only says, it only says this expression, only, Ach v'rak, by Ashur. Not by Bavel, not by Mitzrayim, not by Ammon, not by Moav, not by Aram, not by any other nation. Lo sakum hamayim tzara. To appreciate why. It's Pashat, why. Mida kineged mida. What you did to others will be done to you. You destroyed the uniqueness of the other nations. You diluted their identity. A person has, you know, there's a certain pride. We all know a person has pride in being unique. Chayiv adam lema b'shvili niv olam. Every person is unique. Like someone said, I went to a conversation with a person. He said, They were fighting in Shul. Yeah, you don't need me. I'll quit. I'll quit. There'll be a dime a dozen. We'll take my place. If I won't do my job, and Dr. Fruchter, it's hard for me to compete. I apologize to you.
Okay.
A dime a dozen will take my place. And you know something? They'll do a lot better also. They'll do a lot better. First, giving a shir. He's giving a dafyomi shir. And he was going to quit. And he said, you don't need me. There are so many people over here that can take me. There are 10 people waiting eagerly. Hostile takeover. Take my place and take over the shir. And you know something? They'll do a much better job. So the fellow said, it wasn't really so. He said, yeah, you're right. There are 10 people that will take over and they'll do a better job. But they're not you. Your flavor is unique. And just because they may be better, you know, you go to Amazon, you can go buy a product, you know, many times you don't buy the most expensive product. The product that has all the features. Because you like a certain inferior product. You like it has a certain flavor, a certain element that the superior, shiny other gadgets do not have. You're right. Other people can take over, and they will take over, and they'll do a better job, but they're not you. You are unique. And we want you. We like your flavor, your approach, even though it's far, far from perfect. Who's the one that destroyed the unique flavor of each nation? Sancheirev. It's true. Now it's all Bilbo. Everyone is assimilated. But he basically fired him and 10 other people took over and they do better jobs. But he destroyed the uniqueness, the unique nature of Hashem's creation. Hashem created 70 nations. Each nation, Hashem gave them a tafkid, gave them a unique flavor. And he denied the world from the purity, the uniqueness of that nation. How? By conquering the world and not being satisfied with tax money. He could have conquered the world and says, okay, pay homage. Homage, show homage. Give me money, taxes. No, not enough. Not enough for his ego. He had to say to every nation, pick yourself up and move and go to this country, go to that country, I'll kill you all. And by doing so, he brought about assimilation. He destroyed the uniqueness. Therefore, it's not a surprise to us that we read here on page 546, Loi sokum pa'amayim tzara. Mida k'neged mida. When he was obliterated, to zero. There's no trace of him and his nation at all. Okay. Now let's go back. Okay, that concludes the Rash. Now let's see what the Radak. Radak Pasuk Zayin on page 545. Toiv Hashem. Hashem is good. Tam HaPasuk Nimshach at Saifai Ratzalem. The Tam of the Pasuk, the Tam Pasuk goes all the way to the end. Ritzon Leimar. Yisrael Shahim Chosim Yiyeh Akel Toiv Lohem. Now the Radak is the first one that actually says the word Yisrael. See, according to what we learned so far in the Rashi and the Mitzudos, Tam Yonatan also says Yisrael. Tam Hashem Yisrael. Tam says Yisrael also very good. Is it doesn't really say who Hashem is good to. It says Hashem now is bringing destruction, is about to bring an enormous churban upon the nation of Asher. But in the churban, Hashem is going. They're going to be. Hashem is going to be good. If you would not look at the Targum and look at the Radak, you would be led to believe, and maybe this is really what Rashi says, and because Rashi doesn't say the word Yisrael, it can't be because Rashi has followed the Targum. Rashi usually is machnia himself to the Targum, and that is amongst the Goyim. Okay, there are tzaddikei umay soilam. Even though Hashem is going to bring into the Goyim obliteration, there'll be survivors among the Goyim who will live another day, because the Goyim also have merits. They're also Goyim that are tzaddikei umay soilam. If you just look at Rashi and look at the Mitzudos, you can be led to say that, because here we're describing the Churban of Nineveh. In the Churban of Nineveh, there'll be a person here, a person there, a good person who did an act of chesed. Look at Yoshua, Rochav HaZoyna, okay, she was another tzaddikis. And what happened? Because she went and she helped the spies, they promised they would save her and her family. Okay, they would be survivors. But that's not what Radak and the Targum, as you pointed out, and it says that during the time of Churban, time apostle Nimshach at Seifa, where it's Lomar Yisrael, Shem Chosim Boy, Yia Kel Toiv Lohem, Yia Lohem Lemaoz, Hashem will be for them as a stronghold beyond Tsaras Malchi Ashur. Ki af al pi she techerav malchus Ashur, even though they will be destroyed, Yisrael shehem bagolus bi artsam yimoltu mecherav Nevuchadnezzar. He comes to explain that Hashem can't just nuke the land, the territory, because who's living in the land of Ashur? The Jewish people. So you can't do to Ash like Sodom and Amorah, because Sodom and Amorah, there were no survivors. We need there to be a survivors. Klal Yisrael primarily, and the whole Klal Yisrael was living there. When the Aseres HaShvat, now this is something very interesting, because think about it, the Stira. Because we basically today, where are the Aseres HaShvatim? Gone. It's been almost 2,500 years. There's no trace of them. There's no trace of the Aseres HaShvatim. And the Gemara says, they're gone. They're totally gone. Will they ever come back? Machlokes in the Gemara. But even those that say they will come back, what do you mean? From where they're coming back from? Where are they? Where do they go? They assimilated. Exactly. Totally assimilated. So here he's saying something very interesting. He's saying, Hashem is going to destroy Ashur. And who's living in Ashur? The Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim are going to survive. That's what it says. That even though Ashur is going to be destroyed, but Yisrael, what Yisrael? Who's there? Not Yehud and Binyamin. They're living in Yerushalayim. They always were living in Yerushalayim until the very, very end. They never went to Ashur. Yehud and Binyamin went to Bavel. They never stepped foot in the land of Ashur. So who's living in the land of Ashur? The Aseres HaShvatim. They're going to survive. Toiv Hashem lema'oiz, this pasuk, according to the Radak, is telling us Hashem is good to the Aseres HaShvatim who in Golis are seeking refuge in Hashem. It's a mystery to us, because where are they today? Does this mean that maybe at this point in time they survived until a later point in history, and then later they assimilated, and the Gemara is commenting on a later point in time, but there was at least a point in time when they did survive? Or maybe this means that Nevuah, Nevuah is written for today, we're reading it today, and we're reading about the Aseres HaShvatim today, it seems to indicate that no, that the Aseres HaShvatim, at least pockets, individuals of the Aseres HaShvatim, somehow managed to survive, and they're living amongst us. So given our side that even though we mainly most of the Klal Yisrael today is from Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, there's no doubt about it, is that there are definitely pockets, small groups of people that from every single one of the Shvatim, Hashem did not allow the Shevet to completely disappear. And maybe the numbers may be very, very small fraction relative to Yehuda and Binyamin, but there's no question that there are definitely descendants today amongst Klal Yisrael from all of the Shvatim. And where did they come? Maybe those people are from the people that it says here in the Pasuk, Toiv Hashem Lema'oz, and Chosevo. That's what this Pasuk over here means, is alluding to that there will never, ever be an end, truly, to a descendant of every single one of the Aseres HaShvatim of the 12 tribes. Next, V'yodea Chosevo, Yoidam Umakiram Litoiva Umashkiach Aleihem. Okay, now we have the third translation. Rashi says Hashem knows their tzrochim, their needs. The Mitzudos David says, Leiv Lodas, to provide Hatzala. Radak, Yoidam, Hashem knows who they are. Umakiram, he recognizes them. Litoiva, for good. Umashkiach aleihem, and he protects them. He provides divine providence. V'chein ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim. Okay, so which one? If you only could have one of these three, which one would you like? If you were from the toiv with the ma'oz nechesivo, and you only can have one of these perushim, Rashi, the Mitzudos, or the Radak. Which one of these three would you like to accept upon yourself? The Mitzudos, Lev lodas fahatzala. Rashi, Hashem will provide your needs. Or Radak, Hashem will know who you are. He will recognize you for good and be mashkiach aleihem and will provide divine providence. I would take the Radak. Because I think in the Radak, it's Koilel, Rashi, and the Mitzudas. Hashem knows who you are and recognizes you for good and is a mashkiach. He's giving you an OU, star K. He's providing a seal of kashrus on you. He's the mashkiach. He's providing divine providence. Doesn't that expression koilel within it Rashi and the Mitzudos? I think so. Okay, next. V'chein ki yodei Hashem derech tzadikim nechoy seivo nismach al ois hashimush. Okay, the word choy seivo is v'chein kol choy seivoch horei v'gilboya gimule mecholo v'adoyim lohem. So what does it mean, nismach? Hashem, choy se, the word kol. Chosei, what does it mean nismach al ois hashimush? What's the shimush? It says, the yud makes it from chosei to chosim, like chosim, okay. Uveshet, ele shechosim bo. You have to add some more words into the expression to give it more clarity. Pasuk ches, uveshet ev oiver, umekoyma shol ninve shezochar, yishtoif oisa, bepam achas, in one shot. Beshetef ad sheyasekol mikoymah shlo yeh nikor mikoymah shohya sham ir moshav. He writes here, even the archaeologists will not be able to find any bone, any zecher that had ever exist. It's an amazing thing. Today, there's come out nothing today that you can't find a remnant. Okay, you have the palace, we have a book over here in the shul over here, the palace of Achashverosh. They have, you can see the whole blueprint. There's always a relic of the past. Always going to be something left over. Hashem says, Ashur, test me. Go out, bring your best team of archaeologists out there into where you think Ashur is. You'll find nothing. Zero zilch, kala, squeaky clean.
Why were they such great? Why do they have that faith?
Aseres Hashvatim, because they did irreparable harm.
Also.
They were the first. They were like a molek. Klal Yisrael, can you imagine? They had a Beis Hamikdash. It's clear in the Pesukim. The Jews never believed. There were two things that the Jews believed that today we take for granted. It's like Aleph Beis for us. But at the time of the Jews, in the time of the Tanakh, there are two things they could never put themselves like an ordinary Jew in the 21st century. Number one, they never thought it was possible that the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. Yeah. Impossible. Today, it's a reality. Okay, it's a reality. A Jew living then could never put himself in the toenails of a Jew living, the 15 million Jews living today, that there can be a world without a Beis HaMikdash. Number two, if Taka would be so, theoretically, that there would be no Beis HaMikdash, it would be impossible for the Jewish people to survive in Galus. They would assimilate. It may take 5 years, it may take 50 years, but by 100 years, impossible for the Jewish people to survive in Galus. Not possible. Assimilation is just like it's bread and butter. It's the ear. You breathe air, you live in Galus, you assimilate. That we today can survive for almost 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash. And even take the Bayis Sheni wasn't what they were thinking either, because the Bayis Sheni was just a skeleton compared to the Bayis Rishon. Go back 2,500 years to survive 2,500 years. The only minority returned to Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Jews always lived in Galus. Without a Beis HaMikdash, a real Beis HaMikdash, in Galus, 2,500 years? You're living in a world of fantasy. Fantasy. There's not even a word in the English language to describe the fantasy that you're living in to say such a thing. Can you imagine? And here we are today, 15 million Jews would tell them, ha ha, that's right. We out did what your expectations, there's no words to describe the number of exponents to put on that, and that idea, how much that we survived for 2,500 years, something you never thought was possible. The Yad Hashem, it's not to be believed. The Koich of Torah, the Koich of everything, all the thing that everyone talks about, the secret to Jewish continuity. Torah, Hashgacha, there are a lot of Mahalchim in this. Torah is obviously, I mean, yeah, that's probably obviously the chunk of it. Right, there are a lot of things going on, so it's not to be believed. So this pasuk over here says, going back to the finish over here, we should have over there. Achiasakola mekayim shlo yeh nika mekayim shlo yeh sham ir moishav. Hashem is going to destroy. So who's the one that did this? Who's the one that tried to make that happen? Ashur. They were the first ones that jumped in to try to make that to destroy us. Therefore, they have a special place in Hashem's heart for destruction. They were the first. Before Nebuchadnezzar, before Hitler, they were the first. They were the Sancheriv was the first person to try, and he succeeded to a degree. That Seres Hashvatim, where are they? They're gone. And that's why they have a special place in Hashem's heart of utter destruction. And we mentioned before, forget about us. Look what Ashur did to Hashem's world. Like I said before, Hashem created 70 nations. Each nation has a unique flavor. He destroyed that. A chutzpah. He destroyed Hashem's world. Every nature has a culture. People go, they go, they run around their whole life, going, touring. Some people, they love this. I don't personally go for all this, but some people, that's what they do the whole day. They love to travel. They love it. They have to go to this country, that country. They went to every country in the world to see and to live, to walk the streets and appreciate the culture of every nation in the world. But the truth is, they're only getting a fraction of what the culture really should be. If you go to Italy and you walk the streets and you feel like you're breathing the air of Italian culture, it's a joke. This is nothing compared to what it used to be before Sancheriv came along. If you go to Spain, you go to China, wherever you go today in the world, you think, oh, you've really got it. I really appreciate what it means to the culture of this country. This is a mashahu of what really, and there's something to it. It's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing to appreciate someone else's culture. As long as they're not apikarsim, they don't want to kill you. They don't want to kill you. Hashem made goyim also. Hashem gave them everyone as tzelem elokim. Everyone has what to offer in this world. But you know what Sancheriv did? Forget about us. He destroyed the world. He denied you the hana of going on a vacation to the Caribbeans. He denied you what it really meant to experience a real culture of another nation. Okay, next. Yiradef, very close to the shop, Yiradef, Paul Yoitse, Lishlisha, El Hakel, Miradef, Achishach, Radef. Hashem pursues. This is a Paul Yoitse. This means it's an active verb to a third party. This is what we described before. Hakel meradef ha'choshech roidef. Okay, the choshech is pursuing the enemy. This is exactly what it said in the Mitzudos. Ve'oivim redufim. They're being pursued. They're being chased. The choshech u'mashal latzara gedolah. Just a metaphor. Ve'erasim tergeim u'vechema takifa. An intense a fury. Gimera yaved imamaya. He will finish off with the nations, the kamu v'acharivu yas base makdisha ubale divavohi, those who destroyed the base hamigdash and those that quarrel with Hashem, yimsar ligehinam, will be delivered into Gehenim. So the Targum seems to be saying this pasuk is going not just on Sancheriv, it's going also on Nebuchadnezzar, because he makes mention in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is going to send down a very intense shetef, fury, to destroy his enemies. Two different types of enemies, those that argue with Hashem and those that destroyed his Beis HaMikdash. One more pasuk, Ma tachshavun. Omar k'neged oivav. Hashem says to his enemy, Shem anshe ninvei. Ma tachshavun atem la'al Hashem. Hagoz aleichem ruah zois. Tachshavun ki loisucha la'asar zois. You think that you're not, that Hashem can't do this. You're going to survive. Similar to what it said in the Mitzudos. K'mo shama melech Asher ki yatzil Hashem es Yerushalayim yadi. He actually said, the melech Asher, do you think Hashem's going to save Yerushalayim from me? Oh, I'm you're not going to survive. Kol hu oiseh. Du'u. Ki kolu hu oiseh eschem, Hashem is going to destroy you. Lo sokem pam netzorah, ki bapam achas yichal lo eschem, Hashem is going to destroy you in one shot. Pretty much similar to the Mitzudos and Rashi. Okay, so far, we've gone to the Psukim with the Mitzudos, with Rashi and the Radak. Tomorrow, to be continued. Oh, do tomorrow, very good. Okay. Who's running after the darkness? Bobo Pshatim. All this. Very good, thank you. So that's the ground. We gotta go into Fataych, the word Yiradef. Yiradef, how do you translate that word? It's a very hard word. To play with the grammar.
You were talking about poisoning the mind.